For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Well, here we are. The Sacramento Kings, in what is the most important stretch of their season, in a play-in / playoff race, in a huge game in Phoenix after dropping three straight, they get hammered yet again. A new low point for the Sacramento Kings season. The third straight game, they allow 20-plus threes in a game. It was a season-high 24 made three-pointers for the Phoenix Suns. A Suns team who had been struggling mightily. 4-11 in their last 15, near the bottom in most offensive categories. You wouldn't have known it tonight. They dominated this game, and the Kings lose their fourth in a row. They're back at 500. They fall 122-106 and head back to Sacramento for what is a grueling 7-game homestand. This podcast is presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. I'm Juice Mason in Sacramento, Morgan Reagan in San Francisco at the NBC Sports California studios. Hi, Mo.
Hi. No, don't ask me to say anything else. I'm just like, yeah, I'm almost, I mean, you called me before this and I was like speechless. And I know it's like, I could say part of the job or whatever this is. It never feels like a job, but to just like talk about it. It's like, I don't want to talk about it because I have found things to talk about in some of the worst times in Kings history. But I think because of where we felt like even this roster, and with everything else that happened, could go after all the bad times. And then they started going in a certain direction, but then like started playing just like so not fiery or passionate or whatever. And like, I think that I just feel just pure disappointment. I can't even fucking put it into words.
This was disgusting tonight. This is bad. You know, you can live with like, hey, sometimes you're just off a little bit. This is March 14th. You are literally playing for something. And after what happened the night before against Golden State, at some point, I need to see some pride out there. And what I saw tonight was a group of individuals, not everybody, a group of individuals who just look so disconnected on the defensive end. I'm sorry, seeing guys get hung up on screens, not fighting over to contest, not being in help, and then not being able to recover to close out on three-point shooters. At some point, there's got to be a level of pride put forth. Like, why do you play this game? Why do you play this game? It should be to win at a high level and to do everything in your power to get there. You are not on the outside looking in right now. You're not a 16-win team. You are playing to try to make some noise, and what I'm witnessing is not that. There were times tonight I felt like there are individuals on the floor going, 1-2-3, Cancun, and it was embarrassing. It's one thing to be missing shots, and that's a whole other thing. I thought defensively, though, it was just embarrassing. And here you are. The last three games, you have allowed 68 three-pointers in the last three games. And it's the same stuff, right? How many times did the Suns get open looks?
The same. And it's like, even if you are playing a really good basketball team, it's not like you're just a whole bunch of bums out there. You got some names on this roster. You got some people that and the last time I checked, they've all played basketball at a professional level, and you're not playing like that out when you are out there, when you step out on the floor, even when they came into the second half and they came out soft, like defensively. It's mostly defensively that we're seeing this team play soft. And then you and I were talking about it, how they're getting punked and nobody's sticking up for each other. Like, does anyone, does there's no sense of pride in every category and in every aspect. And there's just no excuses. Like, there's not even like, you can't even say tonight, oh, but it was the second night of a back-to-back, because that had nothing to do with the way that they were playing. Like, that had nothing to do with, it wasn't like, oh, mental fatigue, that's why they're messing up. It's like, no. It was literally heart, desire, pride, passion, all the key words that you want to throw out there. The Kings did not collectively play with any of those things.
The other number tonight, 19 turnovers turned into 38 points for the Phoenix Suns. 38 points off turnovers in this game. Phoenix shoots 52%. They shoot 55.8% from three. These are themes that we continuously see from Sacramento. It's one thing when a Golden State team is, they're red hot and feeling it, they're playing great basketball. We need to make this clear. This Suns team has been on the ropes. They played some tight games, and we all know KD and Booker, there's talent there. It wasn't those guys that were shredding you tonight. You got killed by everybody. And it starts with what you just said defensively. Like, I need to see some on-ball pressure. Like, Zach LaVine, you are too athletic and move too well to not be engaged defensively. I need to see you get into the ball, and I need you to be able to recover and close out on a three-point shooter. Some of the efforts I saw tonight, inexcusable. And if you watch it back on the tape, it's probably going to look even worse. I went back live a couple of times and hit rewind, and I'm just shaking my head going, I am seeing all-star level effort right now. And not like, hey, you're an all-star level effort. No. All-star game level effort in this. That can't happen. DeMar DeRozan, same thing, man.
Insult.
Well, look, if great example. We saw this last night on Give and Goes. It happened again tonight where DeMar comes up and they blitz the ball handler. I think it was Devin Booker. Well, you got to be able to recover on the guy, okay? You got to be able to recover. And there was no recovery. All Phoenix did was play simple basketball tonight. This might have been one of the easiest games for the Phoenix Suns to play this year. Like, they're walking out of this night going, did we figure it out? And they're probably going to be in for a cruel reality check, because they probably didn't. They just played a team that gave them exactly what they wanted. All right, you're going to go ahead and send two on the ball. We'll find the short roll. You'll overhelp, and we know you're not going to recover on the three. We're going to break you down. If you don't throw a second guy at us, we'll just break down your man, draw the help, and you won't recover. There is just no effort I am seeing consistently from the entire team. You see it from individuals. There's no doubt about it. I watched Keon Ellis. That guy's flying everywhere. Keegan Murray's busting his ass out there. Sabonis. But other guys, it's not to the level that is appropriate. And you have to be thinking more than offensively. End of story.
It's just like, I say like disappointing. I almost want to say like, it's inappropriate the way that you are coming out there and abusing such a beautiful game, like almost to the point where I'm like, you don't deserve to play it. Then don't treat the game like that. That's so not fair to the game. And Deuce, I know that this Kings team does not have a guy like Ant, Steph, Jokic, Kevin Durant, just go down the line of like who's known for what throughout their years in the league, whatever. But as a team, we've seen them accomplish things against bad teams, but we've also saw them accomplish things as a team against the Denver Nuggets and the LA Clippers, like throughout those two games, because like although those ended in losses, there was things that you saw, you're like, yeah, like they can keep the competitive level.
You play with that type of effort and engagement defensively, the communication, you're going to be in games. Yes.
As a team. As a team. Yes. It's just, it's a team sport. It's not that hard. And if one of you decide I'm going to be a lazy person, or me switching my words, I'm going to be lazy, or I'm going to not, I don't have it all, I don't feel well, whatever it is, then don't play. Then don't play, because like that energy cannot be out there when you are not a good enough team in this league.
We should mention to this, like Sabonis was back tonight. Sabonis returned.
Triple-double.
Had a triple-double, and he left the game with like 8 minutes to go, grabbing his hamstring. He gave the thumbs up like he was good, but the Kings pulled him. He did not go back into the game. But it didn't really matter that Sabonis was back tonight, because they were just, they got torched. They got absolutely torched. And you're right. It's like, no one's saying that you need to be like, hey, I'm not, I have realistic expectations. Okay. I've seen enough of DeMar DeRozan now, especially at his age. He's not locking down anybody. Okay. He's going to sometimes strip somebody who's driving to the basket. He'll get a hand, a deflection, go the other way. Maybe he's in the right spot, but he can't guard anybody one-on-one. Noted. LaVine, not the best defender, but he can be a lot better. And I'm just not seeing the level of engagement. And that's not even talking about him offensively tonight. Zach LaVine did not turn it on offensively tonight until 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
It's too late. It's too late.
What are you waiting for? And Doug Christie after the game says he's got a green light. Dude, you don't have a green light. You have a freeway. It's I-5, 3 a.m. There's no traffic. Go do something.
Go.
You're too talented.
Be crafty.
You got to have, and that's where it takes a different level. And maybe he's not comfortable with that role, right? I've also maintained that he could really use a point guard on this team. You know, they don't really have that at this point in time. But you saw what he did in that final stretch of the fourth quarter. That needed to happen earlier. It needs to be from the jump. This isn't the time to play the feel it out game. This is the middle of March. You are playing for something. And I felt like tonight, this was the most disconnected. There have been times I've watched the Kings and say, oh, they played bad tonight. Or they, you know, oh, they just missed shots. Tonight was the first time for me that I really questioned effort. I questioned focused. And I went, oh, is everything okay here? Because
Because, and you know why else? Because even the other element of guys getting punked and nobody sticking up for anyone. Yeah. Like that energy plus the no effort plus the no heart. I know, I'll let you go to it in a second. But all those things, like individuals are allowed to have bad nights. Your team as a whole is allowed to have bad quarters or lulls or whatever, you know, and then we criticize them after and talk about how that can't happen. But like for that to be the theme of tonight is absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that we would be ever talking about this team in that way. Now go back to guys getting punked and no one doing shit.
And this has been a problem the last couple of years, okay? Tonight, Plumlee with the shot on Sabonis, okay? Plumlee gets ejected after they review it. It's a flagrant two. He gets tossed. Okay. Plumlee's move there, hitting Sabonis like that. Sabonis goes to the ground. I don't know which one of his teammates did or not did not see it. Sabonis's first reaction is to tell Bill Kennedy, can you review it? Can you please look at that? What? Again, I'm going to note something. This is March. Sabonis, get up and get in his face. No one's asking for a fight or a brawl, but you know what? We don't do that here. And you know what they end up doing in that situation? They go and review it for sure. For sure. And if one of his teammates saw it happen, I expect them to go up to Plumlee and say something. And then in this game, okay, fourth quarter, how much time was left? 8:22. Sabonis gets flung by Ryan Dunn. Probably a play they should have looked at. Anyway, he starts grabbing his left hamstring. What do the Kings do about it?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. We play pickup ball, Morgan. Okay. I'm sorry. We're talking about pickup basketball. If that happens in pickup to me, I am saying something, okay? We're going to make it clear, like, that shit's not happening again. And that's the type of thing that, like, I don't know, man. As a fan, as someone who loves a game of basketball, as someone who has some competitive fire, I see that tonight and go, how are you going to get punked like that?
A competitor. And what that tells me, Deuce, because you mentioned this word, you're like, this team looks broken when we were watching the game. You text me, you said, this team looks broken. And I'm like, broken. That is the perfect way to describe this team. They look broken from the sense of like how they aren't sticking up for one another when someone gets thrown to the ground or whatever. They look broken from how they're not rotating over to contest the three-point shot and just allowing this team to make a shit ton of threes, a season high threes. For the Phoenix Suns, it feels like every single team gets that on the Kings. And it comes a time where it's like, if someone were to knock down one more three on me, I'm going to just punch them in the gut. I'm going to punch them in the face. I'm going to do something stupid and get ejected, like, and get fined. But I make so much money if I'm in the NBA that I don't give a shit. I'll just be like Draymond, do whatever I need to do. Be a little dirty person. And my point to that being is you have to reach a point in a game, in a part of the season or whatever, where enough is enough. And I just feel like they just don't have that fire within them. I don't know. Yeah, I don't get it, because I'm just not that person. I'm not that. And by the way, Deuce, like, we talk about like teammates helping other teammates out, all the different things. I think sometimes, like, we always put it in the sports sense, but I even think about it when I'm on the broadcast with you and I go to a graphic or some other bullshit that I don't know what I'm talking about, because I'm like, wait, I'm reading these numbers wrong. I'm dyslexic. My brain isn't working. And then you come in and you help. You save. You become a teammate. You do something, because otherwise my shit's going to get criticized. Like, she sucks. She can't read a graphic. Like, it's the same thing you have to do for a teammate. Like, if he's not a good defender, how can you help? How can you make sure to make it look like that he's not the worst defender? How can you make sure that your team doesn't look like the worst team out there? Like, you have to be a team player on all aspects of everything in life if you want to succeed. Like, I'm just mind boggled by this performance tonight and this stretch of games, and I'm disgusted and I'm pissed.
Especially when you get to halftime and you're able to get back in the game after being down 19. You cut it and you're like, okay, you're back in it. It's 62-57. Like, all right, come on, let's go. And then immediately the Suns go up 10 because they hit three straight threes. And it's like, what happened here? Well, one other thing we got to talk about. I know we hit on this last night. And I do want to note this for the live audience, who they're probably feeling emotional, of course, because this game just happened. But people will listen to us later or watch us later going, geez, God, they sound upset right now. Deuce and Mo aren't happy. This is what we've always said. I'm going to be my true self. If I'm upset, I'm going to be upset. If I'm sad, I'm going to be sad. If I'm happy, I'm going to shoot off fog and be happy. I'm just going to be my authentic self. And that's how I'm feeling tonight. So I'm sorry if this is not your, like, Deuce and Mo, where's your song? Hey, give me a hell yeah. I don't have that in me at the moment.
So many people have asked us to, like, especially me, they'll be like, I don't know how you do it after a loss. I'm so pissed. And I don't know how you smile sometimes, or you're okay. And I go, I'm okay because I understand the game of basketball, and I understand being realistic about at times when it's like still a good game being played, or guys are still doing the right things, but the other team is better. Like, that's just what it's going to be like when you're a fan and a cover the Sacramento Kings. That is what it is. That's what it's been like for so many damn years. It's like my standards, if you want to call them lower, I just call them realistic. And that's honestly just where I am tonight is just like so critical of what I saw on the floor tonight and the lack of things that I saw, that I don't think I'm unfair, but I would love for someone to come at me if I'm being unfair right now.
No, I don't think anyone's going to be coming at you about being unfair tonight. One thing before I went on that tangent, and then you followed up with your own.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. This is what we're doing. We hit on this a little bit last night, but I have zero doubts in my mind now. Okay. Keon Ellis has got to start, dude. And I figure out who you got to take out. Someone's got to go sit on the bench. And when I say sit, just come off the bench. Look, Levine is struggling to find his rhythm and have the green light or whatever until late in the game. Well, maybe it's just because there's too many guys who are looking to score in that first unit. You have too many of those. You've got Monk, you've got Levine, you got DeRozan, okay? Putting forth a guy who is not going to command shots, but is a willing shooter and has shown the ability that he can not only hit the three in his three seasons in the NBA, but now he's putting the ball on the floor. He's crossing guys up. He's getting in the paint. That's just offensively from Keon Ellis. Then you talk about defensively where you're really struggling right now. You have to get off to better starts. We're talking about this team trying to dig themselves out of holes when there is a solution out there. The solution isn't to say, hey, this player is not playing at all. But you know what happened in the second quarter, Morgan Reagan?
What?
Keon Ellis played a lot of that second quarter. DeMar DeRozan only played 5 minutes in the second quarter. He played a total of 14 minutes in the first half because Doug leaned into the Keon Ellis impact. He saw what Keon Ellis was doing defensively. He saw what he was creating out there with that unit who was out there that allowed Sacramento to get back in the game. And the Kings took care of the ball. So these aren't easy things, right? It's easy for us to say, this guy needs to go sit. No, but those are the conversations that and the decisions that a head coach has to make sometimes. And you may have to have a difficult decision with Malik Monk. It doesn't mean, Malik, you suck and we don't need you. No, it just means at this stage of the game, with what we as a team are trying to accomplish, get into the play-in in a good spot and win play-in games and get to the playoffs, we're going to have to make some tough calls. And some guys are going to have to sacrifice because that's what a team does. It makes no sense to keep playing this game when Keon Ellis has an impact. I'm not saying he's a superstar, but I'm telling you, for this specific team, the role he plays, that's a guy that needs to be on the floor from the jump.
A lot of people agree with you, so I just want to be happy.
Oh, I know. This is what's tough right now. I love the game of basketball. I'm very passionate about all these people who are hanging out on a Friday night watching us right now are either big Kings fans or Suns fans laughing at us. Or other NBA fans are going, dude, Deuce and Mo are just a fucking mess tonight. This is great. And that's fine. But they're spending their time on a Friday night listening to this. Like, everybody is feeling it right now. And it's a bummer because of what's on the line. And now I try not to spiral out of control. But I do spiral sometimes when I think about this. Because I start thinking about, like, man, where is this headed? Okay. Are we headed to a dark time? Man, I remember all these other missed opportunities they had in the past with draft picks and all this stuff. And then I start thinking about, oh no, is this going to be a situation where they're in a 9-10 matchup and get bounced either in the first or second game, don't even make the playoffs again, and then lose their first round pick because it's top 12 protected. And if it's outside the top 12, it goes to Atlanta. I'm just telling you how I think about these things. And so,
I know, but it's making me depressed even more. Like,
you started it.
Like, what?
You started it.
Yeah, but I didn't mean it to go that far and dark. Like, that's just, you're sick. You're a sick human. You know that? Like, sing me a song or something. Shit.
That's your gig. I would have loved if you had a song tonight. A little Beamless Night. Remix do you have on you?
No,
it's
I don't.
A beamless night as I lay here.
Sleepless.
It's a beamless night. This team wants to go vacation. It's a beamless night. I can't do it. Thanks. It wasn't bad, but you know.
Yeah. That's bringing passion and energy and doing something you're not even great at.
You know why, Morgan? No, because if I go out there, I'm going to give it my all. Even if I'm not that good, we play to win the game. Yeah, let's go. Hey, if you haven't done it yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Oh, we're a mess. We are a mess.
I just need wine, like, and I don't have any, and that's such a bad thing to say.
Yeah,
like,
is,
don't worry,
is.
People. I don't rely on wine. I just
And tonight, we try to laugh so we don't cry. We try to laugh so we don't cry. I'm just going to read some more numbers for you, Morgan.
Why?
Kings, 8 for 32 from downtown in this game, 25%. Malik Monk, 0 for 8 from 3. Kings, 19 turnovers turned into 38 points. We mentioned the Suns hitting 24 threes. That's the most threes the Kings have given up this year. And it's the most threes the Suns have made in a game this year. Tyus Jones, 6 of 6 from 3. Royce O'Neal, 3 of 4. Booker, 4 of 10. Beal, 4 of 7. Durant, 4 of 6. Ryan Dunn flexing on us tonight. He hit 2 of 9 from 3. Gillespie, 1 of 1. I mean, it was target practice, and it was almost insane how open these threes were. Last three games, I mentioned they've given up 68 threes. Teams are shooting 60. The last three games, the Knicks, the Warriors, and the Suns, 68 for 122 from three. That's 55.7%. Kyle Madsen put this out. The Kings have been outscored the last three games 204 to 96 from three-point land.
Cute.
Yeah.
And it's those numbers obviously back up a lot of our emotions, but it's not even like, oh, the Kings, this team isn't capable. They are, and we've seen them play better basketball, even against a shittier team that still will end up getting a season high of threes on them. But they'll play better basketball altogether, a better four quarters, or at least three of them. And tonight, after last night's game, it's just like you get time to redeem yourself. You go on these runs, you punch back, and you can't find a way to just keep executing, which I feel like we've seen this team do a better job of within some other stretches that we saw after the trade deadline. And that's why I'm just like, what happened? Is everyone okay?
You're right. And it started from the jump. This was like beginning of the game stuff where you go, is everything okay? First quarter, I'm looking back at my notes where you say this, 3:15 to go. Devin Booker gets a step on Keon Ellis, who like got hit on the screen, but Keon was trying to recover. Literally, no one stepped over to try to contest it, and Booker just laid it in with no resistance. No one left their man. It was like, okay, Keon got beat, and that's it. And it was striking to me.
It's like, this isn't the same game plan as it was last night. And last night, your game plan didn't work, so you probably shouldn't do it anything like it ever again.
Steph Curry called it gimmicky after the game. I was reading it today. He's like, oh, that gimmicky defense. Tim Legler was ripping it too, saying that's like some like high school stuff that they pulled last night.
And it's gimmicky when you try it a different time and then it doesn't work. You have to make adjustments. And that's why Steph Curry was trolling when Keegan was glued on him, and then they had that back door, and Curry's like looking at Keegan being like, you should have been here, fundamentals, haha. And it was like, fuck you, but I get it. Like, you're not wrong. But Keegan was also just doing what he was told. And that's where I think like guys need to stop being robotic and just start like playing freely again. Like, that's what we saw when Doug Christie started taking over, even on the offensive end. And sure, you've had guys in and out of the rotations with Monk and Sabonis being hurt, but the drop-off wasn't crazy. I think that's been the greatest thing about the Kings since the trade, is like adding some bench and depth and everything. No Trey Lyles tonight, but it doesn't matter. Like, the pieces that weren't there wasn't the problem. Even when you talk about the starting lineup, with Monk being in there instead of Keon, that wasn't the problem tonight. There's so many other problems that, like, I've been complaining and in expressing myself for the last 45 minutes, and I want to apologize to everyone out there, but I hope you understand and feel the pain that is literally coming out of my mouth.
Just to be clear, it's only been 30 minutes we've been on Breaking
I don't
News at
even
this
know. I
hour.
don't even know.
Yeah. I think that one of the more striking things to me too is just how their spirit seems to be this broken, that fast. You know, like as ugly as that Knicks game was the other night after they lost to the Clippers, I didn't excuse it because I'm like, come on, man, like gotta be better than that. Like, what happened? You could be like, well, look, Suggs and I have a back-to-back and they had a letdown game. Maybe it was just a bad game.
That I
That,
think
you know,
that was what I felt. That's what
yeah.
I felt.
And fine. Okay, just a bad game. And then like you get a couple days off, the Warriors, and then you get smacked. And then the next night you get smacked when you get Sabonis back. And so that's what it's like, man, did that Clippers ending just break them? Because they had been stringing together some competitive basketball. It's not to say that we thought all of it was going to be real and they were going to cruise and catch fire here. I just didn't expect like this type of stuff to transpire. And maybe that's on us because the reality is you are have a starting lineup right now that I'm going to repeat has one defender in it. One. And when you're in that position, if the other guys who aren't known for being defenders are not locked in, if they are not engaged on that end, if they're not feeling good, if they're not expending the energy to make the extra effort, right? Because a lot of defense, as you know, in this league, Morgan, it's about multiple efforts. It's not about that first one. First one's great, but now you got to recover and go help your teammate here. You got to go X out here and close out on that shooter. Oh, you got to go crash the glass. But hey, don't forget about that guy in the corner. It's mental, it's physical. I'm not seeing it from that group now. And I just can't fathom like how they that broke them. And maybe that's just who they are. It's like, okay, like the reality is this is the group. Like this is what an average team does in this league is some nights they look connected and shots fall and they win games. And other nights it looks like this for stretches because they're
And
taking
look.
on teams who are better. Although I'm sorry, I just don't look at the Suns as someone that should be better than them with how they've been playing.
Look, if for somehow, some way, this stretch of games, they beat these really good teams, we're definitely talking differently and we're going, holy shit, okay, that was just a stretch. There's a very small percentage that that can actually happen with what they have shown in these last four losses.
It's tough, man.
Been way more bad
Well,
in the
yeah.
last. And when it matters most in March, and you're desperate, and the urgency, and all the things.
And with all that said, like they are likely, and I mean, I guess it's still possible this could totally fall apart here. They're likely just to back into a play-in. I don't know if you saw in Dallas tonight, they were losing by 30 or something to Houston. Dante Exum fractured his hand. So they lost another player. Like they,
First.
yeah, the Luka curse is on in Dallas. And so everybody's hurt for them. They might just fall out of it just because it's like, well, we don't have the bodies now. Like we can't do it unless like AD and those guys end up trying to come back, but we haven't heard a timetable yet. So they may fall out, which allows Dallas, excuse me, Sacramento Kings just to be in at that 9-10 spot. But here's the wild thing to consider. And I know this is jumping way ahead, but think about this. Jason Ross brought this up to me today. What if the last game of the season, you play the Suns? What if that decides who gets the home court in the 9-10 matchup? So not only do you have to decide, like, try to win that game to get home court, but then you will play them like 2 days later in the win or go home game. You want to see the Suns twice? You want to see the Suns in a win or go home game? No. And so I don't know, man. It just
But that's where you're at.
it's a weird feeling. You know, I've said this before in sports. When you are on fire, it feels like you're never gonna lose again. Like when the Kings had won seven in a row, we're like, I don't know, man. Like, hey, they figured it out. Could they make this 15 of 19? You know, really get this going. And now they've lost four in a row, five of six, and it's really hard to you look ahead at the schedule and go, where are the wins coming? Now, in all likelihood, they figure something out and get some wins. But you look at the schedule, and that's where it's so daunting. And that's why so many people, and we talked about a lot, circled this March time and went, okay, hopefully you're in a good spot when you get to this stretch, because this is, circling it, is going to be really challenging, and it's setting up to be really, really tough.
Yeah. I think that should be the expectations. Because then if somehow things get better in these last 16 games, then we can all like be excited and celebrate together.
Yes, sure.
And it's like, it's like, I think about some of these stretches of really good basketball being played by this team. And it's not that I think, oh, they're never going to lose again. But I do believe like, wow, they really have figured out more of what they are and what they can be. But then when you see them play like this, man, for a stretch of games, it's not like one bad game, one good game, one bad game, one good game. It is a stretch. I would say three of the four losses that they just lost, because isn't it Clippers, so on?
Yeah, it's Clippers, Knicks, Warriors, and then tonight the Suns.
So
yeah.
Knicks, Warriors, and tonight against the Suns. Like, atrocious. Atrocious.
Yeah.
Where if you're going to play like that, when you know what's on the line, it's just hard for me to believe that you want something else. Like, you speak with your actions. You know, I think DeMar, even after the Clippers loss, like, was like understanding and knowing how important all these games are down the stretch. I forget which game it was that he said that in a post-game presser. And I go, do you really feel like that? Do you all feel like that? Because it just hasn't shown. And thank God we all have each other. Thank God.
We'll get through this together like we always have.
Because yes. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do this alone.
Just an update on Sabonis, by the way. Doug Christie said after the game, I think he wanted to continue to play, but there's no conversation. Sit down. When I see you do that, I'm not even playing around with that one. You're too important to us. So that's why he came out. But no other details at this time. I'm just going to say this. Not ideal that in your first game back in the fourth quarter of a game, you're grabbing the hamstring that just kept you out for six games. And this is what we always talk about with that injury, dude. You just cannot rush it back. You just can't. And I'm not saying he did, but like, if it got re-aggravated tonight and then you're out more time.
It is what it is.
Just, I know. Man. Trying to think of some other thoughts from this game. Like, yeah, when they got back into it in the second quarter, they didn't turn the ball over a lot in the second quarter. That's what allowed them to get back in the game, right?
Five first quarter turnovers, then they finished the half with eight.
Yeah, okay. So not great, but an improvement, and they knocked down
it
shots.
Better.
And they were getting some stops.
Malik Monk was taking it to the rack, getting crafty, getting into the paint, attacking the basket. They were taking care of the basketball. They were getting stops. Like, you did it in a little bit of time.
And why, though? You know why? Because some of the lineups featured Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray, or Keon Ellis and Jake LaRavia. You need defenders out there on this. Like, it's just, you're not going to get away with it. It's just not going to happen. Now, it's one thing if you're up, like, hey, after the first quarter, you're the team that's up 36-22. You're up 36-22, and that group was on fire offensively. Okay, you have some wiggle room, but you don't have that. Like, we haven't seen that type of offensive flow, really, from this group. Like, we're just not seeing it. Like, DeMar ended up with 23 points. He had five turnovers. He knocked down some shots offensively. I thought defensively tonight, I mean, like most people in the Kings, it was a mess. LaVine ends up with 21, 7 of 13. But if you watch the game, it all happened late. And you're going, why? Like, this is a night you probably needed 35 from him. You know, like, needed that type of aggressiveness. He only took 13 shots. Monk was 8 of 18. Sabonis, 4 of 11. Keegan, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 6 of 13 shooting, 2 of 8 from 3. It seems like he's back into a three-point funk a little bit, but I think defensively he's been busting his ass. I mean, I don't know where the team would be if they didn't have him as a defender. They'd give up 43s in a night. I don't know. Maybe. Is there anything like, can you say anything happy right now? You know, I don't love being like blah, 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 the whole pod. Like, that's not our style.
I did. I said the second quarter, I said Malik Monk was getting points at the, I mean,
you're
I,
right. Malik had
that stretch. Yeah. That stretch in the second quarter, it just doesn't make any sense why you couldn't continue to carry that. I understand what you're saying about who was on the floor in the rotations, having two defenders out there at all times. I agree. Then, like, make that a point of emphasis or roll with what was working. And I just, it's just so frustrating to see where they are and everyone not taking care of the basketball. Like, they're going to blow up if they turn it over. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Hot potato, whatever the old little games are.
That's by the way, that your point too about Malik in the paint. And that was actually one unfortunate thing about Plumlee getting ejected. I actually thought it was a good thing he was playing tonight. They were playing without Nick Richards and Grayson Allen, but once Plumlee got ejected, it allowed the Suns to go a little smaller at times and I think a little more athletic. And Plumlee's just an easy target in those pick and roll situations where, like, okay, you're gonna be in drop a little bit, or I have the ability to attack you. I'm explosive. Malik did that. Like, he had the float game on. I think he had 10 points in the paint at the half. So let's get to some super chats. Thank you so much to Ricky Morgan for donating $20.
Give me a hell yeah.
Thanks so much to Robin for donating $2 saying, close the bakery. I'm sick of turnovers. Wow, you laughed at that one.
Yeah, I needed that.
Okay. That got like a smirk out of me.
That's fine.
Okay.
No one.
Jacob donated $5. I'm so upset. I'm going to McDonald's. I hate fast food. Dude, eating some Taco Bell doesn't sound too bad right now, huh?
No.
Just like three cheesy gordita crunches, a Nachos Bel Grande. R. Jonesy says, this is what losing to the Suns does to a man. Probably reacting to us going crazy. Ashley donates $5 saying, playoffs? Playoffs? Don't talk to me about playoffs. Just want to win a game, another game. Jim Mora. Thank you. Oscar, he's a member for 5 months, saying Kings at 33-33 is not so bad. All right. Sure. And look, the Kings haven't had a lot of winning seasons in their history, but this year was different because there's expectations and there's a lot of money invested in this, and this team was supposed to win more than that. So, yeah. Don says, non-existent Levine in the first half is stupid. Somebody needs to get in his grill. Yeah, I mean, I just encourage him. Like, hey, we need you. You know, like, let's go. Like that. And Doug said that after the game, Morgan. He said, we need that fourth quarter Levine. We need him the entire game. And he can do that. Like, sometimes we say, you say the same thing about Fox a little bit, like, hey, fourth quarter Fox, let's do it earlier. But my whole thing with Fox was like, well, he is pushing the pace all the time, and I think he's defending out there. Like, he's taking on some tough matchups. Levine's not pushing, bringing the ball up all the time, right? He's not pushing the tempo like that. He's got the energy to exert on the offensive end, in my opinion. Yeah. Sleepy, wow, you're going to be jealous of this. Sleepy says, I ate a giant bowl of ice cream. How good does that sound, huh?
Sounds so good.
Yeah, yeah. Jerry also saying Levine is too passive. Yeah, he passed up some good looks from three tonight, too. No passing up shots. Like, take those looks. Emiliano says the cliches are clicheing. What's that in reference to? We've got more coming up in just a second, but we need to mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Sativo Vineyards and Winery, Morgan Reagan. I know you wish you had a glass right now to enjoy your Friday nights.
I do, but unfortunately, I have to drive almost 2 hours home after this, and then
you're taking the long way. The long way.
I mean, what? It's raining outside, right?
No,
it's not.
I don't think so.
I haven't been outside in like 10 hours, so I don't even know. But Thank God for Centivo Vineyards and Wine. And you can go to centivovineyards.com because they have some of the best wine. They're local, but also everyone there, they're Kings fans. They're the best family. It's Sandy, Cindy, Jimmy, and of course, Helen. And they just even have bigger families. And they're all such kind people that make me laugh and make me really happy. And actually, probably make me even That's happy true. To be a part of this Kings community right now, thinking about them, because they bring me joy and they bring me some great wine. And if you want to experience all the things I'm talking about, go check them out. Go to centivovineyards.com.
Appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Also presented by our friends of our Golden One Credit Union. We are all one at Golden One. Start your financial journey today. Scan that QR code or go to Golden One Credit Union, the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. You get perks too. Join for up to 50% off Kings home games through their online discount ticket portal, 15% off merch when you use your Golden One debit card, and so many other cool perks just for being a Golden One member. Go to goldenonecreditunion.com. Also presented today by our friends over at Medic Ambulance.
We're thrilled to team up with Medic Ambulance, the trusted name in emergency medical services across Northern California. From life-saving responses to being the team behind the scenes at your favorite events, Medic is there to serve when seconds matter. Trust the professionals setting the standard inpatient care. We should have actually called Medic Ambulance tonight for what was happening out there to all of us, making sure that we were all okay.
I almost called the Wambulance for all the crying you did.
For me? Well, Medic Ambulance doesn't have the Wambulance, but if you wanted to, you can go to medicambulance.net to learn more about them.
Appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. And we appreciate you guys for hanging out with us. Awesome crowd here on a Friday night. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. All it does is help our channel grow. I want to look at the up-to-date thumbs up, Morgan. 143, slap in the face. Should be at 250 at least. In the chat, who do we have? Wow, a big donation here, huh?
You guys, stop.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Why am I like struggling to read this person's name?
Do you want my help?
Is it Jeannie? How do you say that?
Jeannie.
Is it Jeannie? Is that Jeannie? Jeannie Boyer donates $50 saying appreciate you both and being able to commiserate our heartbreak together. Oh, of course.
Let me talk to him. Give me a hell yeah.
Or as Deuce wanted to say, Gianni.
I don't know what. I don't know what the hell I was reading. Oh, you know what? Turn over on me. I have won Kings with 19.
I have like 7 of just like depressing turnovers. I feel like the last two nights I've been very, I like I said, I am an external processor and everyone's getting my full blown.
It's interesting.
What
you said this last night, what kind of processor am I?
An internal processor.
Really?
Yeah. You don't like people. You don't ever want to put certain words out there sometimes because you don't want people to weaponize them against you. So you choose to process in your mind. And so when someone says something like, are you okay? Are you still mad or whatever? It's like, you want to process, you want to focus on it in your mind, where I express myself like way too much. And sometimes it's super annoying. Sometimes it can get me in trouble. Sometimes it's just like, not, I prefer if I didn't do that, but I'm just who I am.
That's interesting. I feel like I'm a mix of both.
No. You process internally, but you express yourself definitely. I mean, externally.
My emotions are on my sleeve, as the people say.
Correct.
Yeah. Deuce is Correct. A computer. Yeah, in some ways, man. In some ways, I am.
Colin said, we made it to therapy.
Man. All right, so next up for the Sacramento Kings, a homestand, right? Welcome home. Home sweet home. Isn't it always good to come home, Morgan? After a long year, hey, I'm so ready. It's been a tough week at the office. Come home. Welcome back. Monday, you take on the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies lost tonight to the Cavs, but they play another game tomorrow. Jaren Jackson Jr. is back. Ja Morant in the loss had 44, but Jaren Jackson Jr. is back after missing a couple of weeks. We know Memphis, that's just going to be a tough game. Like, it's never easy against the Memphis Grizzlies. That's the first game on Monday. Wednesday, the Cavs come to town. You're hoping that maybe the Cavs rest Donovan Mitchell because they're on the second half of back-to-back, or rest somebody. I don't know, but the Cavs, nonetheless, are deep. They're talented. Amazing season. They're coming to town this week. Then the next day, you play the Chicago Bulls, who offensively, look, they could score. Kevin Huerter a revenge game. That'll be interesting. Then Saturday, you got the Bucks. Monday, Boston. The next night, Oklahoma City. And then you end it with Portland on Thursday. So there's a homestand for you.
Let's just make sure we're all together on this. Like, let's just be here for each other. Slash, I just need you. Not you, Deuce. All of you people. Please, for the love of God. Like, I've never felt more like I need a community of understanding ever than tonight.
I could tell by the way you are sitting right now.
I'm low. I'm very low. I'm feeling it.
My message to the team.
Why not win the next game?
Guys. This season is not over. We are in the play-in. We have talent. We have shown the ability to do it. Here are some clips. I put some clips in. Clips.
Oh, I like it.
And we've shown this, okay? This looks like a team that is planning their vacation for next week. We have another month to go. A month. Are we going out like this? Or are we going out like this? These Kings fans don't ask for much. I could tell you that. They've been through a lot, and they're thankful for the great times, and they're supportive during the bad times. All you need to go out there and do is go out there and bust your ass. We can live with the results. But if we are here after games questioning effort, fight, intensity, physicality, togetherness, communication, then guess what?
What?
We're going to be unhappy and we're going to be heated about these things.
Yeah.
What we're witnessing the last three games cannot happen. That is not professionalism. That is not caring. It's time to lock in. It's time to understand that when this team comes home on Monday night, when those intros go off from Scott Moak, and he announces the starting five, and then Scott Freshour comes on the court and asks everyone to get on their feet. There's going to be 18,000 people in that building going crazy, and it's going to feel like a playoff game, even though you just got embarrassed last game. They're going to bring it. Are you? We'll find out.
Why not leave it all out on the floor?
Lock in! Yeah! We're playing for something! We are not getting punched in the mouth, and if we do get punched, we are punching back. We need a punch first, though. And that's offensively, defensively. If one of our guys gets knocked to the ground, we need to get up and do something about it. Why do we play the game? Why? Because it's fun and we like to win. Don't take the game for granted. Don't take your time on this planet for granted. I sound like Bill Walton right now. We are alive. Thank you. So, after a back-to-back, the Kings are off for a couple of days. Monday, Memphis comes to town. We'll figure it out. And guess what? If they don't show up on Monday night, it's all good. We will be here because we are showing up Monday night.
Hell yeah.
We are going to be here Monday night. We're going to be here every game, even that final game of the season, even if it's the most depressing game ever, even if the Kings are out of the play-in and they are playing their deep bench, we are going to be here and talk about it.
And guess what? Guess what? I won't be broken Monday. I won't be broken Monday because I'm not going to allow other people dictate how I'm going to feel every single night before I go to bed. Oh, no, especially a whole bunch of men. Hell no. No, no. I am going to be happy and great no matter what happens on Monday. I'm going to break down, criticize, do what I need to do, find the good, find the bad, talk hoops. I love hoops, and it brings me so much joy, and I'm not going to allow my emotional connection to this goddamn franchise take me down. No, I won't, because this is fun, and I want to keep having fun.
Brandon says, I only show up now for Morgan.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Anything's possible, though. You know, something I never thought I would see? John Cena today, Morgan?
What?
Walking on the street? Well, I didn't see this. I saw this online. That bald spot? You can't see it. It went bye-bye.
Hair transplant? No.
I don't know. It's gone. And his hair his hair looked fantastic. I'm not kidding you.
He sprayed it or toupeed it.
Well, we'll spray on something for the Kings defense. We'll figure it out. If he can fix that, anything's possible.
You literally just, every guy is going to Turkey right now and getting hair transplants.
That's fine, but it was like 2 weeks ago here.
It would take longer, so it's definitely not that.
Morgan, I know you have to get back. You have to get back to Sacramento.
Yeah.
So you hit the road. I'm going to play some Doug Christie, react to Doug Christie, and hang out with the people a little bit longer. Because I'm a man of the people tonight. And
I like that.
You drive safe. Let me rewind. Drive safe, Morgan. Thanks so much for processing this with me.
Aw, external processing. No, thank you. And thanks everyone for, I've been reading all the comments and everything. Just thank you guys. You guys keep us sane. Enjoy some of the Doug Christie audio. I'm going to be listening.
All right, drive safe. That's Morgan. Reagan, let's check in with Doug Christie after this Kings loss.
I expected a way better performance out of our guys. 38 points off of turnovers is never going to do it. We have to attempt more three-pointers. That's not it. Defensively, must be better. Must be better. For those of you that thought it was going to be easy, it's not going to be easy. And for those that find joy in it, I have a word for y'all, but I won't use it. So here we go. What you got?
What's the conversation like that you're having with the team right now?
They're tough conversations because they're not playing at the level that they know they need to play at. And part of it is, like, you know, when I watch that and I say, fourth quarter Zach is the one that we need throughout the game. We need him to be aggressive like that. And, you know, we got guys coming back from injuries. We got, you know, him trying to fit in. And I'm saying fit in ain't it. Be aggressive, because everyone will find their way with that type of aggressiveness. Like, that at the end just looked way too easy for him. And it is. And it needs to be. But even with all that, the turnovers is a thing that continues to alarm me. I understand what they're trying to do, but they're, you know, you just can't be nonchalant. Like, we're right, I think it was 7 points, and the ball's just bounced to half court, and they just go and dunk it, and all of a sudden they find their mojo. Like, that's how guys go 6 for 6 from the three-point line, because they feel comfortable enough to go 6 for 6. I don't like people to feel comfortable. I don't want our guys to ever get into the mindset of feeling comfortable, so I'm going to keep pushing them to make people as uncomfortable as humanly possible. And that's uncomfortable for my guys, because that's not something that has really been done here. But I'm not going to settle for anything less, so we're going to have to figure it out and find a way to make that happen. Back-to-backs and all those different things are excuses that losers use, and we're not going to use that. We expected to come here and win. I know I did.
You talk about the three-point shooting from the Suns and, you know, making them feel uncomfortable. What do you see from your seat as, like, a potential way to energize the guys or find a way to help them put a little more pressure on the perimeter? It just seems like there's a lot of open threes kind of repeated it game after game.
Yeah, whenever you put two on the ball, and this is something that when I took over, I talked about, is the front side and the back side have to match. And right now, there's pressure on the ball, but you hit in the pocket and nobody is getting there. And then the reaction time to sink and rotate isn't quick enough. And you see it in front of you. You have to react. I want them to, excuse me, not react. I want them to be the aggressor. I don't want them reacting. And right now we're reactionary in defense. And that's just that's not going to make people uncomfortable. It's absolutely not. Like tonight, those guys that were open aren't guys that we want to shoot the ball. Last night they were. Those guys made shots. These guys, they will make shots because that's what they do. Unacceptable.
Do you have a feel for Domas's injury? It looked like he grabbed it and then didn't re-enter the game.
That was really, you know, I think he wanted to continue to play, but, like, you know, no conversation. Sit down. When I see you do that, I'm not even playing around with that one. You are way too important to us. Hopefully it was nothing, and I don't think it was, but the whole point is, like, you know, and at that time, like, we tried to go too big to see if we could mix it up there. That didn't work. At that point, then we went small. That seemed to work because we can switch 1 through 5 across the board, keep bodies on bodies. And that's really what we want to do a lot of the time, even when Domas is in the game sometimes. Late reds are good. Keep bodies in front of bodies, and it's a lot tougher that they try to go to an ISO, we shift the floor, and all of a sudden we're keeping people in front of people as opposed to getting in rotations, as you said. Rotations are difficult. Whenever you put two people on the ball, you put yourself in a tough way, and you have to scramble. You have to think fast. You have to be fast, and you have to give it up. You got to give it up. Defense ain't easy, man. And that's why the teams that win in this league and they win championships in this league, they're good at it because they give it up to the point where they might have to raise their damn hand and ask to come out the game.
You have your longest homestand of the season coming up, but there are a lot of really good teams on it. What's your approach the next couple of days? And is it I know you've taken your foot off the gas a little bit in terms of practice time, but do you feel like you need to get the guys back on the court and work on some things, or just how do you work on these next couple of days?
Who told you that?
Of what?
Of that I took my foot off the gas.
Because well, guys were saying you practice less.
No, well, in the beginning we did, okay. But since we got everybody here and made all the trades, we practiced quite a bit, actually. In my opinion, maybe even a little bit too much. But trying to work all those guys in, make sure they know it, make sure they know rotations, all those things, that's difficult. We will have a practice day, and we will go over pick and rolls, all the different things that we struggle with. But as far as practice in the beginning, yeah, we didn't practice. Those guys all knew the offense. They all knew every aspect of what we were doing. I shrunk it down and simplified it so there wasn't no need. Really, I need your legs right now. I need your minds. I need you to come into the game and give that shit up. Right now is a little different. And whether it's shoot around, whether it's practice, we've been working to try to make sure that we're all on the same page because it's a lot of different. It's a small lineup. It's a big lineup. It's Domas coming back. It's Malik coming back. It's a lot to try to figure out in a short amount of time with guys that have different lingo patterns because they've been on different teams, and it still happens. You call something, they're looking at you like, and I have to understand that it's – part of what we go through. This is not easy to figure it out on the fly, but that's what we're here to do. We're here to win one game at a time. The next one in the crosshairs is the Memphis Grizzlies, and we got to figure out a way to beat a really good team. Coming home with honey-do lists and all that stuff is difficult. People know on the road, but it's not an excuse. Reality, figure it out, because nobody cares.
Doug, I asked you 3 weeks ago or something like that in practice, if you thought the effort was there on defense, and you said at the time that you thought it was, you know, kind of guys trying to get acclimated and just didn't really know where they should be at certain times. Do you still feel the same way, or do you think these last few games have been lower effort on that end?
That one is a tough because I think these guys, they want to win really bad. So I don't think that the effort, I think that sometimes they get down. And you can't do that. But that's been something that's happened here. And that takes time to switch. It's unacceptable. I don't care that a guy is open. Even if he shoots it, I still want you running at him. That's what I expect.
Yes.
If you go back and look at the Boston game, it was a clip that I showed them that two guys ran at a guy. And that's the expectation. There is no – if you don't have it, raise your hand, get the hell out the game because there's somebody over there that does. And that's the only way that we're going to get out of where we are, period. You got to bring it every single play, every single possession for 48 minutes, one possession at a time. As cliche as that sounds, that's where we're at. And there's no other – there's no secret sauce. There's nothing to it. You got to bring the effort, intensity, and also the enthusiasm for each other. Be excited for your teammates. Have some swag. Enjoy yourself out there. You play with joy. This is a kid's game, and we got to play it like that, but with a professional touch because we are professionals.
Anything else, Coach? Thanks.
All right, there's Doug Christie after the game. Hold on, let me fix my mic. It's probably way too hot right now because I had to boost up levels for Doug on that. Look, some of the stuff, I think in these situations, it's like some fans are just like, okay, we've heard that stuff. Like, we get it. Yeah, got to play hard all 48 minutes, blah, 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 blah. But it's all true. I mean, the one thing with LaVine that he talked about is like, there's no fitting in it. You can't fit in. It ain't it. You just got to get in and like go do it. And that's exactly it. Like, there's no waiting around. And, you know, I think the concern for me with someone like LaVine is I've seen him on heaters before, but, you know, it's easy to go on a heater. No, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. The heaters, when you're like cruising it up big, is one thing. It's another thing when it's like, hey, we got punched a little bit. We're down. We need you to go get it. And so he just has to have that mindset is like, you need to go all the time. Like, we need you taking shots. We need you to cut hard so Sabonis can find you and use your athleticism, right? Like, I thought that was going to be a bigger part of the Kings offense. I know Sabonis has been out the last six games before tonight, but I thought we were going to see a lot more off-ball movement from LaVine. There are times just standing around, and it's like passing up threes. Like, no, launch those threes. Attack the basket. When he gets the step and gets to the basket, he has some unbelievable finishes. He's a really talented shooter. I just need him to, like, from the get, go do it. The next thing that Doug talks about is like defensively, like I need guys to go so hard that they need to ask out. Look, I just don't see that happening. I see it from some guys and I know who those guys are going to be. It's going to be Keon. It's going to be Jake. It's going to be Keegan, Sabonis. He may have his defensive deficiencies, but he's going to bring it on that end, right? Like he's going to be working hard on that end. We're to the point of the year, like then play more Jake LaRavia then, right? Make sure Keon Ellis is playing 30-plus minutes a night, 32, 33 minutes a night, because that's where we're at. And I think in today's game, it's like people are afraid to make those calls because then you got guys who've been in the league in a long time, like DeMar, that get maybe they get upset about that, or LaVine gets upset, or Monk this. It's like, who cares? Because the end game is to win games. And that's what we have to do. That's what being a team is. It's about sacrificing and going out there and doing what it takes. So don't be afraid. Like last game against Golden State, Valanciunas was not a good matchup against the Warriors. Just wasn't good. He was getting shredded. It was tough for the Kings. And then offensively, they weren't guarding him. So in the second half, Doug started Trey Lyles. Love seeing that move. Those are the type of moves you make. If you've seen the Golden State Warriors do it a lot this year, where it's like, hey, sometimes Kuminga's starting, sometimes he's coming off the bench. Hell, there are times this year Steve Kerr had Draymond Green come off the bench. Draymond! You think he liked coming off the bench? No. But he understood what it meant. And all that does, it doesn't mean you're done. It doesn't mean you're not playing anymore. It doesn't mean you're a bench guy for life. It means in this particular matchup or this particular stretch of the game, to start this game, second half, whatever, this is what we need to do as a team. And to someone like Draymond's credit, even if he didn't love it, he bought into it. Buy-in is everything. And so, like, so this whole, like, notion that, oh, man, I don't know, man, it's going to be a tough conversation with Malik if you bring Malik off the bench. Okay. It doesn't mean he's not getting DNPs. All right, Malik's going to be a big part of this team, and what he does, especially through stretches tonight with that float game, it was good to see him and Sabonis have that two-man game a little bit again. Like, that can still be a part of what you do. Hell, this guy should have been sixth man of the year last year. Naz Reid beat him out. He should have been sixth man of the year. He had a huge impact last year. But right now, this particular team might be better served having someone like Keon Ellis start for what they need. It's not a demotion. It can't be looked at that way. So that's just how I look at the situation. It's like, it is. It's sacrificing on the floor with your play and going hard all the time. That effort on closeouts. Like, to me, hearing Doug tonight even bring up the fact that, yeah, you know, we need to see guys close out. I'd rather have two go at the ball and close out in a shooter like that game in Boston. I'm listening to that going, these are the things we're talking about in March? And you're in the race with a team that has vets on it? Like, though, I don't want to be having those conversations, you know? Like, this is the time we dial up, hey, on this particular pick and roll coverage, this is what we have to do. Not talking about closeouts. Closeouts? Come on, man. Yeah. Keon Keegan in the starting lineup would be nice. I'd play some more Jake LaRavia, too. That's where it's at. You need guys that can... obviously, offense is important. You got to knock down shots, but you got to get some stops, too. And right now, especially the last three games, it's been far too easy for Kings opponents. And these are... Phoenix is a good three-point shooting team. All their looks were easy tonight. All of them. Painful. Hey, biggest thing you could do right now is hit the thumbs up and subscribe. All it does is help us grow. In the chat, I haven't read a ton of chats today. Magosh, is that how you say it? I'm probably butchering that like I butchered Janine's name. LaVine and DeMar combo never worked in Chicago, Deuce. No, I mean, it did work at times. It did. You know, they actually both made an all-star team together at one point. It worked because they had the appropriate pieces around. When it did not work is when Lonzo got hurt. They had a ton of injuries, guys in and out of the lineup. That's the other thing. We talk about like defensively and all that. Like, the Bulls actually had a good defensive team with those guys in the lineup. Having a point guard is important too. And that's another thing for Sacramento that's been really challenging in the post-Fox era. And this is something I mentioned when the notion of trading Fox was coming up, when it was like, oh man, this thing is probably happening. I said, I believe Monk has the confidence to go do it, but his life is going to be different without De'Aaron Fox. And it has been different. You know, Malik's not shooting the ball well at all from three this year. I think coming into this game is like 33-ish%, but Fox did a lot for his game. And that's not taking away anything from Malik. It's just, that's just the reality. When those guys play together, like they vibe together, allowed those guys, you know, the amount of attention Fox draws just with his speed, right? The gravity, like he's number one on everybody's scouting report. You took that away. And so now defense are more focused on Malik. Like he doesn't have, there's not all these other guys drawing attention. Like Fox drew a ton of attention. He had the speed, right? He had the ability to break down the defense, attack the rim, score at all three levels, even if he relied too much on the three. He had the ability to do that, and teams viewed him as a threat. Well, you don't really have that. Like, LaVine's not totally comfortable with the ball in his hands all the time, right? Bringing up the ball. We see him get picked a lot in midcourt. You know, he's more of a guy that gets on the catch, knocks down the three off the dribble. Maybe he can get to the rim, but cutting, whatever. But it's just, it's such a different game. It's been different for Malik. Anyway, my point is the point guard situation is not ideal for Sacramento. They're not playing Fultz either. I don't really view Devin Carter as a point guard. You know, he's a scoring guard. Yeah. I know we got a couple more super chats I need to get to, too. I'll get to a couple more chats. I want to bounce around the NBA. In the chat, Wanton donates $2 saying, Doug can't even keep his head up. Brutal. Yeah, that was tough to see. He's down, man. He's a competitor. I don't blame him. Let's see. In the chat, Monk's got to go to the bench, limits, or bench DeMar, limit LaVine. You, guy can't dribble. I mean, now you're trying to nitpick. I mean, like, limit, I don't know what that means. You got to play these guys. These guys are still on the team, but, like, adjust the roles a little bit. You know what I mean? Let's go around the NBA real fast. Looking at some of the games today. Oh my God, like LA had nobody tonight. Luka didn't play. And ESPN posted something early that made me want to vomit on social media. ESPN posts Bronny hitting a three over Jokic. And it's like, Bronny locked in. And I'm like, oh, dude, what? Cool. He's getting a good opportunity tonight. What's he got, like 15, 20? Oh, wait, that was the only shot he made tonight. This is early in the first quarter. He hit a three. Why are we saying he's locked in? Why? Why do we have to make a big deal? Why is that even posted on social media? It's insane. Anyway, the Nuggets beat the Lakers tonight. Shorthanded Lakers, 131 to 126. Jokic at 28, 7, and 5. The Nuggets had three players with 22 or more. Jokic, Christian Brown, and Jamal Murray. Austin Reeves with 37. 37 points, 13 assists, 8 rebounds in the loss. Dalton Connect added 32 as well for the Lakers. He hit 5 of 13 from downtown. Shake Milton with 16 off the bench. Okay. Toronto and Utah, does anyone really care about the game? Not really. 126 to 118. The funniest thing from this game, so Utah gets punished the other day by the league. Fined $100,000, right? Because they sat like 800 guys. And the league's like, we're not doing this. Like, what are you doing? In fact, the league apparently is investigating OKC for doing the same in a game they actually won by 18 or whatever. But Utah did it for a different reason. So you know what they did tonight? Markkanen plays in the first half, doesn't play in the second half. And so they're like, fine, you want us to play him? We're trying to tank. We'll play him his 19 minutes, and he's not playing the rest of the game. Kind of crazy. Indiana beat Philly tonight, 112-110. Siakam with 27 in that game in the Sixers. I just look at that and go, what a year. I mean, their starting lineup tonight is insane. Insane. Downton Jr., Bona, Yabusele, Council, and Butler. What? Who would have thought? Maxey didn't play. No George, of course. No Embiid. Houston beat Dallas tonight, 133-96. Dallas loses Dante Exum 7 minutes into the game. Dude, come on, man. That team is just cursed. And Kessler Edwards, they're going to have to give him a deal because his two-way deal is almost up. Crazy. Minnesota beat Orlando tonight, 118-111. Minnesota's been on fire. They've turned around their season. Banchero had 43 in the loss. Ant had 28. But Minnesota is now 39-29. They are feeling it right now. Charlotte, insane. Charlotte hit 26 threes tonight. 26 threes against the Spurs. Their first game without De'Aaron Fox, who's out for the year. 145-134. Stephon Castle at 26 in the loss. LaMelo hit 7 of 11 from 3 for the Hornets. Hornets 145? God, San Antonio, what a mess. But Fox is going to have the surgery coming up next week, so he's done for the year. And that's a quick look around the NBA. We mentioned Cleveland beat the Grizzlies 133-124. So, yeah. Anyway, appreciate you guys hanging out tonight. If you guys have other thoughts on this game, just where we're standing right now, let us know in the YouTube comments after. I'll talk to you guys over the weekend, too, on those comments. Maybe I'll do a film breakdown on what transpired in this game tonight. I thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. You guys are literally the best for being here late on a Friday night. You guys are all first team basketball sickos. We love you guys, but we got to go.
Have an amazing night. I'm Morgan. Good night.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Podcast that you know, Deuce and Mo.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.